to the When It Worked podcast. You're with your host, Julian Lee. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic Rita Goodrow, Kim Thompson-Pinder, and Sonia Couto. Welcome to the show, guests.
Hello.
All right, we're going to play Jeopardy. And after that, we're going to meet our wonderful guests and learn all about the fantastic things that they are doing. And Rita, you're in the hot seat. The categories are food, inventions, law, mammals, movie trivia, and music class.
Let's pick food for 100.
Food for 100. Southern specialty and America's favorite main dish.
What is fried chicken?
Let's take a look. Fried chicken is absolutely correct. Rita is off to a great start. What would you like, Rita?
Let's keep it going. Food for 200.
Food for 200. Deli Delight from Yiddish for ring.
What is donut?
Anybody else got any idea? It's kind of like a donut.
What is
What is a bagel?
Who got that?
That was Rita. I didn't get it because I didn't get it on the first time.
I said, what is onion rings?
Okay, so I'll skip that one. It is bagel, but unfortunately, Rita didn't answer incorrectly, first of all. But you are still in control. You just didn't get any points. What would you like, Rita?
We're going to stay with food for 300.
Food for 300. Pickle men, not doctors, do this for bacon and ham.
I have no clue.
What do we do to bacon and ham to preserve it?
What is cure?
You know what?
What is cure?
I think somebody jumped in before you. Who was that? I was watching watching the screen.
It was me.
It was Kim. Well done, Kim. Woo! You are in control. That was 300 points as well. Well done, Kim. What would you like? Food, inventions, law, mammals, movie trivia, or music class?
Music class for 100, please.
Music class for 100. Fourth note of the musical scale or a long, long way to run?
What is fa?
Is correct. Well done. Somebody knows a little bit of music theory. Kim Thompson-Pinder, what would you like?
Music class for 200.
Piano style sprung from the blues. It describes Betts Bugle Boy. What type of music?
What is jazz?
I think it's something else. Anybody... There's a movie with this in its title about the old kind of World War II music.
What is big band?
Ooh, close. Let's take a look. Boogie Woogie.
Boogie Woogie.
Kim Thompson-Pinder is still in control. Would you like to continue on your music journey?
Music for 300, please.
Tyrolean trick of moving the voice from natural to falsetto. These are hard. I have no idea. I got a D in music. Tyrolean, trick of moving the voice from natural to falsetto. Any ideas? These are actual Jeopardy questions.
Crescendo?
Yodeling is the correct answer. Good effort, though. Kim, you're still in control.
400, please.
400, music. What we call singing without having instrumental or musical accompaniment.
What is acapella?
Kim, now somebody else said something. What did you say? Was that Sonia?
Yeah, I said, what is acapella?
Ooh, what do you reckon, punters? I think you snuck in there. We'll give it to you. Okay, Sonia, what would you like?
Movie trivia for 100.
100 movie trivia. Actress who spoke the immortal line, you had me at hello.
Who is Renee Zellweger?
I had me off the screen. Who was that? Was that Kim or Rita?
Rita.
Rita!
That was Rita.
All right. Well done, Rita. And she said it to Tom Cruise. You know what she should have said? I'm running away from you. You're scary. All right, Rita, you're in control. What would you like?
Let's close out movie classics for 500.
Movies for 500. Movie trivia. What is the big reveal awaiting Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense?
That he is dead.
He is dead. Was that Kim, was it?
Anya.
sorry. Sonia, well done. He was dead indeed. Sonia is all of a sudden on 900 points. Kim on 400. Rita on 200. Sonia Kuto could be the dark horse storming to the lead. What would you like, Sonia?
Movie trivia for 400.
400. In what movie did Jonah Hill say, "When am I going to need to cook tiramisu?"
What is The Wolf of Wall Street?
Anybody else?
If you what got, is The Hangover?
If you got a 14-year-old son, he would love this movie.
What is The Hangover?
5 seconds left. Superbad.
Oh,
and he was arguing about making that in, what do you call the cooking class you do in high school in America?
Well, Meganomics.
Yeah, we call it that as well. I wasn't sure. All right, now I've totally lost the plot. Who's in control? Sonia, is that correct? Nobody got it correct. Sonia, what would you like?
Movie for 300.
Movie trivia for 300. Which character in The Godfather caused Michael Corleone to say, "I knew it was you, blank, you broke my heart"?
Who is his son?
Not quite. He's a family member. 2 seconds. Anybody?
Who is his daughter?
Unfortunately, it is Fredo, his brother. And they also call, who's that broadcaster they call Fredo? Como. Chris Como. All right, I shouldn't say that. Continuing on, Sonia, what would you like?
Movie for 200.
Movie for 200. Mary Poppins' magical musical tongue twister.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Rita was in there. Rita got that one, I'm sure of it. Everyone agree? Or do we have a protest? All right, Rita, what would you like? Ripper Rita.
Let's go to food for 500.
Food for 500. Let's go big. Savory baked pastry, which is particularly associated with Cornwall, England. It's also something. What was that? Does anyone have an answer?
What is tortilla pie?
Not quite. It's also something that spring breakers put on them. Their female spring breakers put on themselves to cover up themselves a little bit.
So confused.
No idea. If you're in Australia or England, you would know this one. It is a pasty, Cornish pasty. Delicious.
No.
Do you know what the other pasty? Did that make sense? A little bit risky.
Yeah, that made sense.
A little bit risque, that clue. Rita, you're still in control.
Yeah, let's just do food for 400.
Food for 400. These religious adherents from East Asia prefer to avoid meat. A vegetarian religion from East Asia.
What is Hinduism? Hindu?
Hindu is correct. There is also another one called Jains, which belong in India as well. Well done, Rita. You're on 800. Kim's on 400 and Sonia's on 900. We've got a bit of a battle heating up. What would you like, Rita?
Law for 500.
Law for 500. Oh, very aggressive. A judicial jury that cannot agree upon a verdict after extended deliberation.
What is
a hung jury?
Hung jury is correct. Well done, Rita. What did you say, Kim? Split.
I said, what is the split vote?
Ah, okay. Same sort of concept. Rita's still in control. Rita is on fire now. 1,300, 400 for Kim. Sonia's on 900, still nipping at the lead. What would you like, Rita?
Law for 400.
Law for 400. While a summons asks nicely, this demands your appearance in court.
What is a warrant?
Somebody else said something, and I think they might have had the answer. Who was it?
I said subpoena.
Was that Sonia? Sonia, well done, Sonia. Sonia is equal lead at 1,300 points with subpoena. Well done. What was it like, Sonia?
Inventions at 500.
Inventions at 500. Go big. This dressmaker's favorite was patented by a man named Singer.
What is the sewing machine?
Kim, fast out of the blocks. For 500 points, has brought her up to 900. We've got a tight race, Kim. What would you like?
Music for 500.
Music for 500. Italian for First Lady, the leading opera singer in a company. Also for Mariah Carey, sometimes.
What is a diva?
Ooh, the Italian word. I think it's the same thing. Was that you, Sonia? If nobody else gets it, I'm going to pay that. 1 second. Prima donna, which I believe is the same thing as a diva. Well done, Sonia. What would you like?
Let's do inventions for 400.
Inventions for 400. Edison suggested it could be used to record phone calls and make clocks talk.
What is a record player?
Another word for that.
What is a phonograph?
Kim! Well done, Kim. Take a look at this. 1300, Rita. Kim's on 1300. Sonia is on 1400. Who's going to take this? I don't know. Kim, what would you like?
Mammals for 500.
Mammals. Oh, aggressive. I like it. Weighing 1.5 tons per foot, this mammal generates up to 500 horsepower with its tail.
What is a horse?
I don't think so. Anybody else?
What is a whale?
That's what
is a whale?
Oh, I think so. I don't actually know, so we'll have to check. The blue whale, we'll pay that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well done, Kim. Looking strong on 1,800. What would you like?
Mammals for 400, please.
Mammals for 400. Plays dead to escape predators, but one was close friends with an alligator.
What's a possum?
Could you just add something to that a little bit? Just add one letter.
What is a possum?
Actually, it's an opossum, but I'm going to pay possum. What is an opossum? Same as a possum, isn't it? But with an O. I don't know why they do that. Kim, what would you like?
Mammals for 300.
Mammals for 300. A black panther is really the black version of this cat.
What is a tiger?
Just run through the cats. There's one. It's actually a different type of big cat, not a tiger.
What is a lion?
Think more South American jungle area.
What is a puma?
What is a panther?
What is a lynx?
We have no clue.
It's a leopard.
Leopard.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to get that. All right, Kim, you're still in control. We've got a tight race. You are in the lead. What would you like?
Mammals for 200.
Mammals for 200. The only flying mammal.
What is a bat?
Was that Sonia?
No, that was Kim.
Well done. Correct. Very strong. Kim, what would you like?
Let's finish it out for 100, please.
100 mammals. Romans called this African beast a tiger horse.
What is a zebra?
Zebra is correct. Kim is very strong. Can anybody catch up? How much is on the board? 5, 6, 1,200 on the board. You could, Rita, you could draw even if you got every question right. Kim, you're still in control. Sonia could win by 100 points if she got everything right. What would you like, Kim?
Inventions for 300.
Inventions for 300. 2,160 people at a time could ride on this at the 1893 Chicago World's Fair.
What is Ferris wheel?
I think Rita might have snuck in. Do we agree?
Yeah.
I think so. Interesting. Ferris wheel. Got to be quick. Well done, Rita. What would you like?
Let's do the law for 300.
300. To avoid litigation, this type of insurance or divorce avoids affixing blame.
What is uncontested?
No fault.
No fault.
You're still in control, Rita.
What is, let's take law for 200.
This plea prevents the court from eliciting a defendant's admission of guilt, but has essentially the same function of a guilty plea.
What is nolo contendere?
Is correct. Well done, Rita.
Nice.
What would you like?
Let's finish out Law for 100.
Law for 100, a second prosecution for the same offense for this round.
What is Double Jeopardy?
Double Jeopardy is correct. Rita is finishing strong. What would you like? Inventions.
Inventions 200.
Detection of gamma rays was one of the uses for this 1947 instant picture taker.
What is a Polaroid?
Rita got in there. Polaroid is correct.
I guess it's invention for 100.
He invented the Franklin stove.
Who is Rita?
Got in there just before you, Kim. Well done.
I tried.
Our scores are Rita on 2,300. Kim on 2,500, Sonia on 1,400. Well done. That was an excellent, fast-paced game. Congratulations. Let's have a round of applause for our guests. All right. Now we're going to switch over to the extreme close-up. Hi, Rita.
Hi. Hello.
All right. So, Rita, let's talk to you. You went through some changes. And it caused you to go on a journey, and now you're doing something very different. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing at ritagoodrow.com?
I mean, so I am a professional speaker and MC. I am also a business strategist, so I help businesses mainly with community building and connections, and I go in with team management and team building, and I speak on connection and community building. But I used to be a lawyer, which is why I kept going for the law category.
I was going to ask you.
Was a lawyer. Then I did a whole thing where I went on 35 dates in 35 days and blogged all about it, and the blog became very popular, and that caused me to leave the law. I became a dating coach, and from that transitioned into business coaching and then the public speaking, which is what I've been doing for 10 years now.
So. That's pretty crazy. So you were working as a lawyer and you were just kind of blogging and your blog took off.
It did. Yeah.
How long did you spend on your blog? Did you ever think it would take off?
I mean, not really. I wasn't, somebody famous found my blog and mentioned me in their blog, and all of a sudden, boom, it was discovered and it blew up. I was only blogging about the 35 dates experience. It's not like I had a blog and it was ongoing. I had decided to go on 35 dates in 35 days with 35 strangers and blog all about it. And that was the only reason I had a blog.
Wonderful. And I just got a bit distracted there. Somebody's mic was coming through. And with the public speaking training that you are doing, so did you say... You're doing a lot of sort of team building. Is that sort of corporate stuff? Are you working with solopreneurs as well?
So my coaching side of my business, I do have a mastermind group of solo entrepreneurs that I help grow their business. But for speaking, it's mainly associations and corporations that I go into their corporate events, their corporate retreats or conferences or association, national or regional conferences, or even chapter meetings, and speak all about community building and connection and communication.
Community building is a huge one, because it is one of the reasons that solopreneurs fail, if they do, is because of isolation, and they think that if they build it, people will come. Are some of the things that you find people are doing wrong, and what do they need to start doing to build a community around them?
Yeah, you know, I think that the biggest frustration that I see for people who really genuinely intend to build a community and feel like they aren't is because they're confusing the definition of audience and community. So they're really building an audience and they're neglecting to take the extra step to turn that audience into a community. And so any action that helps do that. So, you know, an audience is like one to many. So that would be your newsletter, or that's when I go live, or that's when, so it's me broadcasting out to many people, my Facebook page, that's an audience. But a community is where all the members can talk to each other without me even really needing to be involved. So on my email list, they can't message each other. On a Facebook page, it's very difficult for them to create community with each other, even in an Instagram comment thread. So a community is what is a container that will allow them to have ownership and as much contribution to the space as possible. And so really defining and differentiating, they both have a point, but audience and community are different. If you want a community, it means you need to focus on a few different elements.
And what are some of those elements that you think are your favorites for building community for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it's really about allowing them to easily and openly start communication and conversation with other members of the community and contribute to the conversation with other members. It should get to a point where you could disappear for 2 or 3 days and the community is still running. Like, it's still thriving. It's not dependent on you every single day. And so that really comes from the connections between all of the community members. So fostering that in whatever way, whether it's in person, whether it's then allowing them to have access to reaching out with each other. Social media platforms allow people to start chats or start video rooms. If you're in person, do you also have an online component where they can reach out to each other easily? Are you allowing them to start their own meetups, their own events where you aren't required, so that they can continue to connect and grow their bonds? So it's really about anything that will allow them a little bit of ownership of the space and what is happening within the container of the community.
That's very interesting. What do you think about virtual summits for building community?
Yeah, I mean, I think virtual, it depends again, like the community aspect is dependent on the, like if you want a community among the attendees, do the attendees know who each other are? Are they able to easily reach out and talk to each other and connect and like carry on the discussion before or after the summit? If you're trying to create community through the participants of the summit, same thing. Or is it really an audience? It's really just you broadcasting out to the participants, the participants broadcasting out to the attendees, and then not a lot of interaction or community between those. So again, it's that fine line between, am I really building a community, or have I just created a really engaged audience? And that's a little different.
Excellent. And what can people expect if they do want to reach out to you, Rita? What's the first point of call? Do you do a call with them one-on-one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love having a call, finding out your needs, whether you're a solo entrepreneur or you're an event planner or you're having an event and you wonder, would this be the right topic? Is this the right speaker? We will dig into your goals and your needs. And if it's not me, I will find that right person for your event or for your business goals and needs.
Very important stuff. Yeah, particularly what you said about getting the topic right and, you know, working out what niches you're going to cover, because a lot of people try to cover everything, and when you niche down and really hone in on who you're going to talk to, you tend to have a lot more success. That's fantastic, Rita. So if you want to reach out with Rita, I suggest you do so. If you want to learn how to build a community and also learn how to become a speaker, I guess, thank you very much, Rita.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. Are we ready? Guest two. Hi, Kim. How are you? Now, Kim Thompson Pind is a bit of a bookworm. Are you on mute? Let's have a look. You might be. Let's have a look.
I am.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Kim.
I was.
You're back. Now, tell us a bit about what you're doing as far as, I guess, getting influence through writing. Would that be a fair summation?
Yeah, I'm Kim Thompson Pinder, the Extraordinary Word Ninja, CEO of RTI Publishing. We work with high-level consultants, professionals, and speakers. We ghostwrite, produce, and publish their signature books that they use as marketing tools that converts readers into clients. And then they use those books to help them scale their business.
Excellent. And who do you work with mostly, Kim?
Mostly higher level consultants, professionals, a lot of consultants, B2B consultants and professionals, a lot of high level speakers and thought leaders as well.
And you call your business Author to Authority, is that correct?
Business is RTI Publishing.
but the brand is Author to Authority.
Author to Authority. And so you work with these people, and obviously what are some of the benefits for these people by, I guess, writing an expert book? What is it going to do for them? How long does it take? And what do they do after they've written their first book?
One of the biggest things is credibility and visibility. And when you have those two things in your business, it makes building your business bigger, better, stronger, and faster. Generally, with RTI Publishing, you're looking around a year, though we have people who have done it in as little as 9 months, and we've had people who have taken years, so a lot of it depends on the client. What was the third question?
What do they do after they've published their first book?
So that's the trick. Most people, you talked about the field of dreams, and a lot of people have been told, oh, you write a book and it's a field of dreams and all this business comes flooding in. Well, the truth is it doesn't. But you need to use that book as a tool, and you need to get it into the right people's hands. And there's lots of different ways to do it. There's free ways to do it. There's low-cost ways to do it. There's online, there's offline. It can be as simple as mailing a physical copy of your book to a potential client. It does not have to be difficult. You just have to do it consistently.
Yes, yes. Get out there, get it into the hands of people. And yeah, I mean, you talk about if there's a particular person that you want to have some sort of relationship with, if you email them, how much impact will you have? But if you actually send them a book that you've written, they're gonna know who you are at that point. You're gonna be able to at least have a conversation with them. And so with this create and scale method, how do you administer this information? Is it a course or is it something else?
It's a checklist. You may be thinking about writing a book for your business, but if you don't have the create and scale method in place, so create is more about the goals of the book and the things that you need to put into the book to make sure that it will convert a reader into a client. Scale is what you do with the book after it's written to ensure that it's getting into people's hands, but not only getting into people's hands, but also what do you do after you've gotten that book into a person's hand to convert them from a reader into a client?
Yeah, so if you are out there and a lot of people are writing books or thinking of writing books, you need to have a bit of a plan for what to do. There's more than just writing the book. So if that sounds like you, you might want to have a chat to Kim. And Kim knows a great deal about it. And you've written many books yourself, haven't you?
I've written many books myself, plus over 200 books for my clients.
Wow. So Kim's definitely got some experience that can help you. And the business is Author to Authority and RTA Publishing.
RTI Publishing, yes.
Awesome. So I've got all Kim's socials in the show notes. If you want to have a chat to her about getting a book done, I strongly recommend you do. And it takes a lot of work, but it's well worth doing. So thank you very much, Kim.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. All right, let's see if Sonia's still around. Oh, hi, Sonia. Now, you've done some exciting things in the world of tech startups, which is very interesting to me. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you did, what worked, what didn't work, and how you got into it?
Yeah, well, I got into it because I'm the managing director at a software development company. And from there, I'm the founder of two tech products. And the development company that I work for helped build those products. So one product is in the food service industry. It provides nutrition analysis with software instead of having to send food to a lab. And the other one is a digital data collection tool for oil, gas, mining companies to be able to eliminate paper and pen and do everything digitally and get reports done right away.
Well, that's interesting because they're two very different niches. And from where I live, the oil one sounds like it would be very popular. Which one's been the biggest app?
Menusano, the nutrition analysis.
Oh, it's wrong.
Yeah, it's just because health bills are skyrocketing for different countries due to things like diabetes, and governments are looking for ways to provide information to consumers so that they can make healthier decisions. So the need to for food service to provide the information is becoming more frequent and is on demand.
So what does that app do? What's it called, first of all?
It's called Menusano, and it's a software application that allows food service industry professionals like chefs or manufacturers to go in, create their recipes using ingredients that we provide that are government sourced. And then we take care of all of the rounding rules for each country and providing compliant labels, nutrition labels for each country we service.
I see. So the compliance angle is a very strong point and a point of difference, I guess, because, you know, you've got to have that organized. And that would be something, that would be the last thing a head chef would want to have to worry about. That sounds like a headache. So that's definitely solving a big problem. And how do you become a managing director of a tech company? Are you a developing person or a marketing person?
I'm neither. I'm a business person. So my background is in accounting and operations.
Accounting, yes.
And I started working at a tech company, and I started working on combining the operations and the accounting departments together. And then I became their operations manager, then director of operations, and then the company got sold to an investor who was one of their clients, and the team sort of scattered, and the new investors asked me to run the business.
You know what, Sonia? I was just talking to my son today, and I'm suggesting he do accounting. And the other option is software development. With your experience, what would you say would be the best option?
Software development.
You would, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And what could people expect if they head over to soniacuto.com?
You can get a hold of a booking page? Yeah, I mean, it tells you everything I do. So there is the three businesses, Converge, which is the software development company. We help people with ideas who want to build tech startups. We also help companies who have existing systems and want to be able to build APIs to combine systems or build new systems internally for their businesses. We help founders who don't know how to get an MVP to market actually build the tech, help them analyze the idea to see if it's a good idea, bad idea, and how they should go about it. We help companies handle offshoring, making sure that they're following the right processes so that they're spending their money wisely and getting what they need. A lot of times companies will offshore and then the end result is not what they were expecting. So yes, we help through that process. So anything that is from taking a tech idea, building it out and getting it to market, we help companies go through that entire process. And since I have a lot of experience building our own startups, we also have a venture product department that if a founder comes to us with a great idea, we might invest in that idea and help them pivot and get to where they need to go faster.
Kind of like that. What's that incubator, Y Combinator, or whatever it's called? Bit like that. And that's very interesting. So, but most of all, what's the most common thing that you help people? Is it somebody comes to you with an idea, or they've built a project and they need help getting it out there?
Yeah. So we'll help them make sure that they have at least a minimal viable product to get to market so that they can see if there's a market for the product, identify who their competitors are, what features they have. Having competitors is great. You can learn from them and then build out your product faster. So what we really try to focus on is helping founders focus on getting a minimal viable product to market so that they can really see what the market's going to be like, versus founders who come to us and want to build out their product over a year or two, spend all this money, and then take it to market without really knowing what it's going to be like in the market. So we help them get it faster.
Would you say that's one of the biggest problems that happens, is that people, developers especially, have this idea of what they want to build, but they really don't know if anybody wants it, or they don't do any testing to see if anybody wants it, and they get too far down the track of building what they think they want to build? Is that
Yeah, I always call founders, and I'm a founder myself, but I call founders inventors. They're people have ideas and they invent these new ideas. They're disrupting in traditional industries. They're not necessarily business people. And that's when we come in. We can help you look at the idea and say, yeah, we could, first of all, technically this can be built. There's technology can, that can support this, but also let's look at the market. Let's do some analysis and figure out who should be, who is your ideal client? How do they shop? Where should, you know, learn the language of the industries you want to sell to. All of those things have to be accounted for before just launching a product. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yes, there is. You've got to have two sides of the coin. Have you heard of that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus?
Yeah.
Well, it's like software developers are from Mars and marketers are from Venus. They speak different languages, but you sort of need them both to have a good relationship. How do you like that analogy that I just came pulled out of my hat? All right. Well, that's very exciting. Sonia, kudos. So if you are out there building a software product and or you've got an idea for one, you want to have a chat to somebody who's got some runs on the board, as they say, and experience in the field, Sonia Couto is the person to talk to. Thank you very much, the wonderful, talented Sonia Couto.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Let's have a round of applause for our wonderful guests. Thanks for playing, and congratulations to our winner, Kim. Kim, we're going to have a champions round at some point. You can come back and play for real cash. I've got a few other things on my plate, but eventually I'll get to it. Thanks for listening and watching, everyone. I'm going to wrap things up.